terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
We hear it this way. When someone leaves a church, it don't take long before there's 12 reasons why they think that person left the church. Or why did that particular staff person, ministry person, step down from ministry? What do you think happened? And recently, in our area, there was a pastor recently, a while back, I won't say when because I don't want to make connections, stepped down out of ministry, said he was going to do other ministry, and just recently it was revealed that he had had an affair. So I do understand that stuff happens. I'm not trying to be blind. Now people are asking this, well, when he stepped down, is it because of that? Well, wait a minute, he stepped down here. They tell about his affair here. That does not necessarily mean that when he stepped down, he was lying about what he was doing, right? But I won't tell you where, but you can go on and read people blogging about it and talking about it, okay? And so me, when I first heard about it, I'm going to be direct, I go, I don't believe it. I just choose not to. And then somebody within that, I'll call it denominational group, that I happen to be friends with, I saw, and I said, man, I don't want to believe this. All I need to know this, true or not true, true. And I said, that's all I need to know. Somebody that's connected, very connected with this, okay? But we often want to talk about these things, okay? Even if we don't verbally say things, we have the tendency to draw conclusions. We just do. Did you see Mr. and Mrs.? They haven't been in church in 3 weeks. That's all you say, but your mind's going, wonder what's the matter? What? Your mind goes there and you begin to think things. Hopefully, here's what you're thinking. I need to call up on them. I hope they're well. Hopefully, that's where your mind goes. Problem is this. Let's get real. We don't know the story, the whole story of most people's lives. Even people we may know well. Somebody you work next to every day. Somebody you sit in church with and worship every day. You usually don't know that because it's going to be on steel. The real stuff that deep down moves people to poor decisions, you probably don't know. You don't know what they went through in life and those things that are, I'll say this, fogging their choices. That you say, how could anybody ever? A lot of people have. And so we just do that. Okay, so the Eastern tribes, by the time we get down to 22 and 28, They talk now about their motives, their reason. Whoa, wait a minute, guys. Calm down. I know you're going crazy on us here and tell us how we broke the law and how we're rebellious. But here's how they start in 22. The Almighty One, God, the Lord. The Almighty One, God, the Lord. So we know this, right? In Hebrew, we figured this out as we're studying the Old. When you say it twice, you're doing it. No, honestly, Jesus said it this way in the New Testament. Verily, verily. Or truly, truly, bringing emphasis on something based on the idea of things are affirmed by two or three witnesses. And that's what it brought about in their language. Okay, so they're emphasizing this, and they basically say this, man, if we're wrong, may God not save us. If we did it to make sacrifices over here instead of at the tabernacle, may God not save us. If we did it in some way and we weren't honoring God, may God not save us from what you're about to do. That's how they start the process. So what they're saying is, if we are wrong, we're willing to take the punishment. I'd like to teach that to our politicians, but that's another story. By the way, and I don't care what party you're on, but as a believer, you got to be excited when somebody mentions God twice in their speech. That's rare. But anyway, here's what it says. They says, we have done this out of concern. Can you give me another word for concern? Fear. Worry, fear, anxiety. For a reason. Watch what's this. They say, in time to come. What were they worried about? The future. I know you never do. You know, oh, anyway. Oh, I've seen bad decisions about the future. Okay? Well, that car of mine, if it doesn't keep running, how am I going to get to work? How? So I see this. I go out and I buy a new truck at $500 a month. Yeah, that's a good choice. Okay? For most of us, there are some that might be a good choice for it, but they have more money than I do. Okay? But they're concerned for the future and concerned of what others might do in the future. They actually use the word may 3 times. Well, this may happen, that may happen, and this may happen. Remember, this is driven out of the idea they're out here on the frontier, feeling alone, recognizing homesteading here isn't like homesteading in the other side. There's actually cities there you can move into. There's farms already there. Out here, we're homesteading. And they begin to look at that and they see that, wait a minute, what's this hold for us in the future? Okay? I think we all can relate to that. Here's what they go. Say, your sons may say to our sons in the future. Wow, if you could predict what people are going to say in the future, would you give me some stock tips? Okay, like having the money to buy stock. Your sons may say to our sons. Here's what they think the sons might say. What have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a barrier between us and you. See how they see that barrier? And the sons of Reuben, sons of Gad, you have no portion with the Lord. What if in the future your sons come across and look, yeah, you aren't children of promise. You're not the elected of God. You're not in because you don't believe the exact same thing we do. Now, come on, there's hills I'm going to die on. The divinity of Christ, right? The Trinity, salvation by faith, not by works, justification. I'm going to die on that hill. But most of the times in the body of Christ, we believe this. You're not in like we're in. You'll see that Wednesday night when we talk about this concept of baptism of the Holy Spirit. That different groups, if it's not like our way, you just don't have it all. Okay? We still do that. And they're afraid in the future that's going to happen. You're going to look at this grand divide between us, physical divide, and say, you're not God's chosen like we are. I'm sure you've never seen that in the body of Christ either. You're not like us, you're different. And it goes on to basically this, you're not part of the inheritance. You're going to leave our kids out of the will. You want to see family fight? I've done a lot of funerals. I've seen really close families argue over that little figurine that was grandma's. And now I want it, now you want it. I'm not talking about cash, big money. I'm talking about a figurine. Seen that kind of thing happen. The kids are going to be left out of the inheritance. And let's get real. Imagine this. Now, it even happens to us today when you're the one left out. Everybody else got an invitation but you. Everybody was chosen to be on the baseball team but you. Come on. Everybody got a raise at work but you. Wait a minute here. That's what these guys feeling like is going to happen to them. Everybody's going to get, but we're left out of the picture. Okay? I understand that. I'm trying to put these guys in some place where I'm not judging them too harsh on what they did. I'm trying to figure out. See, I'm trying to give the rest of the story. Who said that? The older folks. Who said that? Paul Harvey. Okay. If you younger ones don't know who Paul Harvey is, look him up online. He had great things, some neat, interesting things to say. He wasn't a preacher. He was just a radio guy. Here's the next thing. We think your sons are going to say this and have this attitude towards us, or your sons may make our sons stop fearing the Lord. Maybe your sons are going to be a bad influence on mine. That's really what it comes down to. We're not sure that you're going to raise your kids right, and they're going to be a bad influence on our kids. That's never a good idea, by the way. Tell people they're raising their kids wrong. But it makes also assumption about this, their future spiritual condition. We do that in the body of Christ. We make assumptions about, well, you know, if they keep living like that, we do the same thing. And along the way, they assume you and your kids are going to mislead us. Just distrust from the get-go. See, here's what I see. I see distrust on both sides. I see one side says, you did this thing out of rebellion, and we don't trust your motives. And the other side, that's right, we don't trust your kids in the future. We don't trust the way you're going to raise them. Okay? So, how did these Eastern tribes, when they came to this feeling that they were having, how did they deal with this? What was their motive for Ed? They built an altar as a memorial or a witness, the term, Hebrew term Ed, we would pronounce Ed. Why? To remind each side they're one people. Okay? To remind them they worship one God. To serve as this altar, they said, it's not a place for sacrifices. It's not intended to take the place of that. It's to remind us of that. And to remind you, we're of that too. Okay? Sometimes, and we do talk about doctrinal distinctives, and Wednesday nights we talk about the different views in particular of different branches of good Christians, all right? But we got to remember this, there's one God and one Savior and one Spirit, that's right out of Scripture, by the way, okay, the Savior of us all. And you needed saved for the same reason the guy to the church down the street needed saved. The same reasons. I didn't say the same sins, I said the same reasons. So that they can remind their children to continue to be faithful. That is all over Scripture, speaking about the next generation. A godly man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. One of the great parts, as we did the dedication this morning, is God calls us as Christians to make sure the next generation, that the truth is passed to them. Now, here's the difficulty. Those of us that might be outside a more liturgical, tradition-type churches, okay? Liturgical, ceremonial. They do ceremonies, okay, over and over again. And some of you go, man, how can I go to church over there, man? That's a dead church. See how we make an assumption? We assume tradition and liturgy means dead. That's not so. So one of the ways we need to do this, and the Bible teaches it, Passover. Every Passover, the oldest boy is supposed to ask the same question. I don't know about you, but I get tired of my kids asking the same questions. Are we there yet? Okay. But no, they're supposed to ask the same question every year. Cook the same food. Do it the same way year after year. One of the ways we pass to the next generation is traditions. Before we, as Protestants, by the way, it means we're not Catholic, we sort of go after that idea because Catholicism has a lot of tradition. And they say tradition is on equal terms. Church tradition is on equal revelatory terms as Scripture. We would disagree with that, all right? But because as Protestants, we often take anything that's repetitive, traditional, and throw it out. Oh, except for communion. That we do regularly. Think about it. Do this often and remember it's me. What? Do this thing over and over and over. Why? So you would remember him. As parents, I want to call you to that. Have some good traditions, and I don't just mean cooking turkey at Thanksgiving. I mean scriptural, things that have a spiritual impact, traditions, okay? And when they're 13, they're going to roll their eyes, and I'm dying because we're doing this again. I know. But wait and see what they do with their kids, okay? I think it's important to have those, I'm going to say the word, maybe not, but religious, spiritual, faith-filled type, traditions. And you've heard me say this before. I end every prayers I pray with my kids at night in the exact same words. The whole end of the phrase is exactly the same. And I stop and let them fill in. Because there's a principle in that I want them to learn. So you might have your own. They had good intent for the next generation, but they did it sort of out of fear. We're afraid that your kids will, that the future might be like this. And I don't do the traditions with my kids. I'm afraid that they'll turn away from God. I do it to reinforce. But it sounds like, to me, you might see it different. To me, these fellows are going, man, we're not sure what the future holds, man. And And we're afraid you're going to do this, and you might do that, and this might happen. Even though they did a right thing, and their intent was right, their flesh might have been part of the process. Maybe that's the best way to say it, okay? So what? How does that relate to us? What can we do regarding us? First of all, ignore any statement that starts with "someone said." And someone means Facebook. Okay, that's someone. You're not directly connected, okay? There are too many someones in most of our lives. There really is. This fellow goes to an auction. And there's a parrot. And this is a beautiful bird. And the auctioneer says, "Yeah, you want to auction off this talking parrot." So the guy bids, and every time he bids, someone overbids him. He ends up paying $1,700 more than he thought he was going to have to for this bird. So out of the auction, he goes up there to the auctioneer, and he's going, "Wow, man, it's expensive. Does this bird really talk?" And the auctioneer says, "Who do you think was bidding against you?" Be careful who you listen to. I have this in my life lessons journal. Whoever has your ear has your heart. Young people, listen to me. Whoever has your ear has your heart. Okay? So don't say to your parents, "Everybody else does." Well, my friends say, okay, don't bother. Put your ear to your mom and dad and listen to what they have to say. Because they recognize you're gullible as can be. All right? Whoever has your ear has your heart. Be careful who you listen to, one. Number two, be bold. Be bold in this sense. Stop the story in its tracks. Imagine the first guy comes up. "I heard they built an altar." "I'm sorry, dude. Unless I ain't seen it, forget it. Stop talking." Imagine what that would do at work. What that would do on Facebook. I don't know if it exists. Okay? So first, ignore the "someone saids." Get rid of those "someones" in your life who do that. I also have this in my life lessons journal. Okay? Small minds talk about people. Average minds talk in events. This happened, that happened. Great minds talk in ideas. And so if you're around people and all they're ever doing is talking about other people, small mind. Dump that. Be bold enough to move on to something else. I'm going to be honest, talking ideas can be really hard in our culture. Because most people don't work in ideas. They might work in complaints, but that doesn't make it ideas. All right? All right? Then ask yourself this question. Why am I listening, or why am I sharing this with someone else? Now, let's get real. Some things are interesting. Right? Do you hear about that guy? He was swinging off a rope out of Jump Creek in the ice. And he hit and he slid for 3 miles. Okay, whatever it is. All right, an interesting story. Those kind of things happen on Facebook too. All right? So sometimes they're just interesting. But often when we're talking about someone in a negative way, it's one of two reasons. Make us look or feel better about ourselves or before others. Okay? We do that. And I got to be careful about that as a pastor, that when I'm talking doctrine, I'm not trying to do it in a way that says, "Look how dumb the other guys are. And look how bright we are." Okay, I got to be careful. I do want to teach you those things, but I myself have to check my motives in that regard, okay? You need to realize this. Christianity is not a competition. It's not who gets there first. It's not who has a better doctrine, who lives the better life, and God's standing up to keep the scorecard. Kathy's ahead of Tim. She gave more than the offering. It's not a competition. All right? Now, I know we're supposed to, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I understand that example side of the process. But it is not a competition. Who's more biblically right, us or them? We can be, just like these guys, built an altar, a religious thing. Out of zeal and devotion to God, we can become competitive. We can. All right? It's that flesh that's in us. And the Christian walk is not a competition. It's a love affair with Christ. I live what I do for Him. I'm not trying to remember the scripture reference, but it says, comparison is foolishness. You don't have to worship like I do to be worshiping. My wife's quiet and shy. You stand next to her, you can barely hear. It's not about that. So be careful about disguising your actions or even your motives in zeal for God. Well, the only reason I'm telling you this is so you can pray. Oh, you never heard that before? You ain't been around long. That's a religious altar we build up to put it on, when really I just want to tell Diva some juicy or judge another. But here's the cool part, and this is where I went with the kids. If you read Psalms 139, he knows everything you will do, say, and think before you ever do. Amen. And he never unrighteously judges you. Wait, when he was there, when I thought, and I saw, and I did, he never unjustly judges me. Now, understand, God knowing everything could be a positive, and it could be pretty spooky, too. It could be pretty scary that God knows everything. Everything. We all sort of dread that idea of maybe being in heaven someday and the video of our life's playing. You know what I'm saying? But here's the cool part. When I get to heaven and the video of my life's playing, you know what's going to show? The cross. That's the video of my life. Is Christ himself is my righteousness. That while I was still sinning, while I was still in the process of ignoring him, mocking him, he died for me. And he knew what I was doing. It wasn't surprise. Well, I'd really like to love that guy and die for him, but look what he did. In the midst of all that, he never looks at me and gets the wrong motive. He never looks at me and thinks the wrong thing about me. Even when our actions might be right and our motives might be wrong. Or you've never done, your motive was right, but you sure did it wrong. Right? Every guy's done that with his wife when he said the wrong thing. He wasn't meaning it that way, but it sure didn't come out right. Okay? Yeah, what do you mean by that? Okay? Lamentations. Strange place, I know. We don't get a lot of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 and 20, or 21 and 22. But this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God never says, you know what? You've used up all the mercy I got. I've had enough. It's done. You goofed. You built the altar when you weren't supposed to. No, no. He is steadfast and faithful in his mercies. Now, there's a whole theological place I can go with that, but we're out of time. Okay? I recognize every day as my feet pop out and get onto the floor, usually cold, my feet, get out on the floor, the bucket is full. The bucket of God's grace and mercy is full. And no matter what my motives are, what my actions are through that day, I cannot empty that bucket. I could think I'm dumping it out, but it's a bottomless bucket. God is infinite, and his mercies are infinite to his children. Be careful, his justice is also infinite for the wicked, so don't go there. All right? That brings hope to me. Well, do you think God's mad at me and he's going to do this? Yeah, mad at you. He loves you enough to correct you, maybe. Okay? But it's that continual, ongoing, God is slow to anger. We sometimes have a tendency, we've messed up, and we think God's ready to pounce, you know, like your cat on its little ball. But you think he's ready to pounce. No, he's slow. He's that big hound dog sitting on the front porch, and the rabbit runs by, and the dog don't even get up. God says, I'm slow to anger. You can throw your rabbits out there all day, but my mercies are new every morning. Oh, I know you might accuse me. I understand you might unrighteously judge me. But my God, who's the one who really matters, he doesn't do that. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope, even hope for the body of Christ, as imperfect as we are, and lets these things happen in the body of Christ. But you know, his mercies are new every morning for me and you. I think one of the things we get the privilege of being a family integrated church, not saying anything against anybody else, but a privilege we get is to learn grace and mercy and patience for little children in church and parents trying to figure it out. We get to live that out every week. That should remind us what God does for us all the time. We may be hollering and wailing because we don't like the condition of our diaper, in a sense. Because we want this. We're hungry. And we can cry out and God says, that's okay. I hear you. I knew you'd be crying before you did. I got it covered. And that's true for that last church you went to before you came here and they hurt you. God's mercy is good for them too.
Yes. Ooh, well, I don't like that. I'd rather feel bad about them and judge them.
God's grace accounts for them too. We just ask this, that the grace flow through you. That's a whole lot harder. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do know all things about us. God, I recognize the body of Christ is just a bunch of broken people that rely on the grace of God. God, help us not to impart intent and judge others' actions, particularly before we hear the rest of the story. But God, let us be people that impart grace, that it have that patience as well, God, as you have for us. We thank you, God, that no matter how we stumble, the mistakes we make, that we can never wear out your grace or overuse your mercy. Thank you, O God. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.